Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. My dear friends in Christ, last week we celebrated the Epiphany of our Lord, and there we were reminded that the Christ child has been revealed to the nations by the example of the wise men. And as we move ahead many years in our Lord's life this morning, just a week's time, we're reminded that there is another revelation of the Lord in today's text. That's really what the word epiphany means, right? Revelation. Our Lord was revealed as King to the nations with the Magi. Today, he is revealed as the very Son of God in his baptism. In fact, today we have for us revealed the entire Trinity, one of a very few rare instances in which this happens. But that's the climax of this story. That's the reward at the end of the journey. First, we see the Lord coming to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. It's not because our Lord needed to be baptized, and thank God for that, actually. The sinless Lamb of God needs no baptism for his own sins, but he needs baptism for our sins. And we should give thanks this day that we see the Lord coming to John, that they together might fulfill all righteousness, do the righteous thing by having Jesus, the sinless Jesus, baptized in the water, not repenting of his own sin, but taking to himself the sins of the world. Here then, we find the start of our baptism. Because our sins are kind of like the water that tornadoes down the bathtub drain. They flow from us to Jesus. And we thank God for this. We sing his praise. We tell everyone what he has done, that he has taken away our sins, and that he's given to us his righteous name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the point this day, that our Lord was baptized in the Jordan for our sins. He was baptized for us. He needed no repentance as we do. He needed no forgiveness as we do. But he went to the water for us because we need those things. And there in the water, we find the call of God placed upon us because we have the Lord's righteousness in our baptism. He says, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." He says that of you. And that happens because of the gift of God. It happens because the Holy Spirit has come down in our baptism and granted us the gift of faith. It happens because our Lord has judged us in the water, and he has found us to be his own. Water is dangerous. It really is. Water is the most destructive force on the planet, even though we don't often perceive it as such. Water literally carved out for itself the entire Grand Canyon. Water can destroy a community in minutes. Water can bury mountains, or St. Louis, apparently. Water can crush a body. Water can even make a submarine implode. There's nothing safe about water. Water has drowned us. Water has killed us in its flow over us. And so we are indeed dead. God made his water flow over us and has killed that old Adam in us. And every day that old Adam dies. But water is also life-giving. Water brings to us life. The old man dies under the surface, but the new Adam, Jesus the Christ, rises to new life, promising us the very resurrection of the dead, the very resurrection of the Son of God. See, the Holy Sacrament of Baptism is life itself. And in it, we find exactly what God promises to us all throughout the Scriptures: life and salvation and forgiveness. It is the deliverance of a good conscience toward God to us. It is the giving of faith. It saves us. Baptism is everything. It's wonderful. It is literally wonderful. And then we find this public pronouncement, and that is your pronouncement. It is not just for Jesus, but for you, the pronouncement that God puts over you, that you carry His name, that you are His own. Well, we find in baptism that it is not the end. For the day is coming when baptisms with water will cease, and our Lord will baptize with fire. Now, in Greek, baptize means to wash. That's all it means. Doesn't mean to immerse, just means to wash. Kind of like you could immerse something, or you could take a washcloth and rub it down. You could baptize pots. You can baptize vessels, and we find this all throughout the Scripture. You can baptize feet. You can baptize whole bodies. You can even baptize a couch if you wanted to. That's why we baptize with water and not with Coca-Cola, because it's clean. But in the end, water washes us no more, and now fire is going to flow over us, cleansing us. And to me, that sounds kind of ouchy. But fire purifies. It cleanses disease that water cannot take away. It purifies the body and the soul in a way that your shower never could. But fire isn't just a good thing. It's a scary thing. Fire reduces stuff to ash. It burns skin off of bodies. And John tells us that Jesus will baptize with fire. That doesn't mean that the sacrament of holy baptism is going to change, which is good, because I have a feeling that would be really awkward as a pastor. But what it does mean is that Jesus is going to burn this world to the ground. He is going to light everything on fire and take it out. It's corrupted. It's destroyed. And then He's going to make it new. He's going to remake it the way that it should be. He's going to take all that He has created, bundle it together, and light it up to burn it down. And whatever stands at the end stays. And what is it that's able to endure? Only you. Doused in the waters of baptism, you are safe from the purifying fire that will remake the heavens and the earth. The sinless Christ gives to you His perfection that you might endure through the judgment of God. Our sins have stained us. They've made us unclean. Sin is the disease that infects us, and there is no cure. The only way to get rid of sin is death. You can either die in your sin, or you can die in your baptism. The first way doesn't really stop sin for long, because then you're tested in the fires of judgment and you are found wanting. But to die in baptism stops sin forever. When I was 20, I spent a few months in Russia. Now, we were in Siberia, not some tropical paradise, but still somehow, at least as far as they can tell, a few months after I got back, I was diagnosed with something like malaria. Something that had laid dormant for a couple months until I got too stressed out with the semester and it kicked in. I had high fevers for about 2 weeks and night sweats every night multiple times until finally I went to the doctor, because I was a college student and I was pretty dumb. And they did blood tests on me, and they couldn't find anything. The only thing they could figure is that because I was running such a high fever, it eventually burned the virus and left only its remnants. I started to get better after that. And it would be, well, almost 2 decades now, where I still suffer through the symptoms which come back from time to time. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and the bed will be soaked with my sweat, and I don't know why. It just happens, and it annoys me, and I think it annoys Liz because I wake her up in the middle of the night, and I don't know, sometimes I change the sheets, sometimes I just pull one back over top of it, and I try to go back to sleep after drinking some water. It's there. It's just always there. I can't get rid of it. Sin is like this, though much more serious than malaria. See, the sacrament of baptism cleanses us from our sins. It makes us die to the old Adam, and then it raises Christ in us. But this old Adam somehow always comes back to life. And so we have to kill him every single day. We still suffer the symptoms of sin. We break the law of God. We suffer for that. We grieve. We mourn. We die. But as Christians redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, we repent. We're forgiven. We change the sheets. We go drink some water. We go back to life in Christ. That's what we mean when we say that we die daily to sin. We try to put it to death in us, even knowing the impossibility of that task. And we do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when we do sin, we ask forgiveness and we receive it. Now, it's not to make light of sin like this is some kind of cheap grace, like go out and sin knowing that you're going to be able to ask for forgiveness. Rather, sin is understandably life-taking. It will kill you. It is serious. But as forgiven children of God in the baptism of Christ, sin also is nothing to us anymore but a nuisance. Sin has been revealed as a horrible next-door neighbor blasting its music at 2 a.m. But there is a remedy for this. You call the cops. You call Jesus. You call out to him in repentance. And he races to you with forgiveness. You call out to him for strength to resist it, and he races to you to deliver. We don't make light of sin. We want to kill it, but we cannot. We have to wait for our Jesus to do so. And he has. He took your sin from you in his baptism, and he crucified it on his cross. The baptism of John, begun this day, is finished in the crucifixion. And then as we are baptized into the death of Christ, we find that Jesus was baptized into his own death. And as he was then raised from the dead, we are brought up out of the water and into newness of life, eternal life. Because there, at that font, every time that it's used, the heavens open, and the voice of God declares, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." That's why we seek this new life of leaving sin behind. And yet, even when we cannot, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the very revealed Son of God, on whose account God is pleased with you. He fights for you. He forgives all of your sins because he has already taken them all and the punishment which you deserve. In baptism, you have been made a child of God. The Trinitarian revelation at Jesus' baptism is the climax of the story because that is the very name that is put on you, the very name that you bear even right now. You have the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit on you forever, for you are baptized in his name. And because of that, you may stand confident that our Lord's promises of forgiveness, of life, of salvation are indeed yours, because he has taken to himself all that used to belong to you and has given you every good thing in its place. You are the Father's, and you are the Son's, and you are the Holy Spirit's, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.